For a scripture reading this morning, in preparation for Thanksgiving, we're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we'll say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the privilege and honor to just look into your word. And as many celebrate Thanksgiving, as children of God, we know that the number one thing we can be thankful for is the shed blood of your son. And we thank you for this. And please be with Pastor Craig this morning as he delivers your message. Let it touch our hearts and let us learn from it. And we pray this in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. And in Philippians, you can go ahead and stay there. We're going to start there this morning. It's interesting for me. There's typically about three times a year where I like to do a theme type message: Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. And what is also kind of interesting is with Christmas and Easter, while I am always very excited about those messages, doing them year after year after year after year, you kind of wonder, okay, what perspective am I going to look at this from this year? Well, I tell you that because Thanksgiving is different. This is one, for some reason, that is always it's a very easy message to prepare, because there is such an abundance in Scripture concerning giving thanks to God. And again, in preparation for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, I do want to depart from our series in Acts and look this morning at the attitudes of giving thanks. People say thank you all the time, right? You probably said it this morning. I have literally stopped at a gas station to ask directions, and as I turned from the clerk to leave, he said, "Thank you." And I thought to myself, really, you got that much out of my asking directions that you had to... And what it is, it's mechanical, okay? Every customer that leaves, I say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And here I am, I turn my back on them. Normal thing is thank you. And these words have become, or can become, shallow and mechanical words. The youth pastor up at Southland Bible Church has brought this kind of misuse of words to my attention, and he's taken a stand, but I don't even know if he knows that he's taken a stand on this. Let me explain. How often do we use the words "how you doing" in passing? Right? It's a greeting. We use it. Well, one day several years ago, I used these words in passing to Jason, the youth pastor up there. And as I'm walking by, I say to him, "How you doing?" And I have to tell you, I really didn't want to know. I was just greeting him and expecting him to say "great" and ask me how I'm doing, then I could say "great," and we wouldn't even have to miss a step, right? But I did that. I said, "How you doing?" And he stopped me. He stopped me as if I would have never even dreamed of asking that question if I really didn't want to know. And he began telling me then what was going on in his life that day. And he spent minutes telling me what was going on. And then he asked me, "How are you doing?" And he would not let me leave until I told him what was going on in my life that day. And when we use words like these, it should never be out of obligation or mechanics or just manners, right? Like we're just trying to be polite. There's nothing wrong with being polite, but if we're going to use words like, how are you doing? We should probably, at least to a degree, really want to know. And if we're going to use words like thank you, especially to God, we should probably really mean it. Giving thanks to God is more than just good manners. And this morning, we're going to look at the attitudes that should completely encompass our giving thanks to God. Our subject this morning is more than manners. We're going to jump around to about three different passages of Scripture this morning. But through these passages, we're going to discover what some of these proper attitudes are. And if you're still in Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse 6 just quickly. I had Nick read more than that because I wanted us to catch the context here. But verse 6 says this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the first attitude that we find here is this. Giving thanks must be coupled with contentment. Giving thanks must be coupled with contentment. Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, says, contentment is a resting or satisfaction of mind without disquiet. I shortened it up a little bit. Here's Craig's condensed version. Contentment is really the absence of worry. It's the absence of worry. Let me tell you about Mush the cat. Mush was a cat that my parents had. And the cat was named Mush for a very clear reason, and I'll describe that. Mush was the epitome of contentment. Mush was most content when she was with people. In fact, if Mush saw people, she would run up, nudge against you, start purring, and just collapse on the ground in complete satisfaction of just being by you. Mush was so content. In fact, Janine was in the garden once, and I think she was in there weeding or something like that. And Mush spotted her, ran over to her, and as Janine is crouched down, Mush jumps up on her shoulders and then drapes herself, literally hanging over the neck like a fox stole, and stayed there for minutes, just in complete satisfaction. One day, I was going over to my parents' house. I'm walking up the driveway. Mush the cat is on the roof of the garage. She sees me. She comes running down to the edge of the roof, and just like she always does, just collapsed. Never minding the 10-foot drop from the roof to the ground. That's the first time I saw a cat not land on its feet. That's the contentment of that cat. Mush was the epitome of contentment. Again, contentment it's the absence of worry. Anyway, I'm picturing Mush the cat now. No worry about the 10-foot fall. But anyway, it is. It's the absence of worry. Be anxious for nothing. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, Paul says this. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Paul could say this because Jesus, in Luke 12:28, he says, "If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow will be thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" Okay? Contentment is the absence of worry. Contentment also is trusting in God. It is trusting in God. Mush the cat fell off of that roof because she trusted in me. Now, that's where she made her mistake. Okay, because I am a flawed person. But trusting in God, true contentment really can only be found in God. That's the only place it can really be found because He is trustworthy. Listen to Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. The psalmist there says, "And those who know your name," he's talking about God here, "and those who know your name will put their trust in God. In you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy, and contentment is trusting in God. And then thirdly, contentment is its satisfaction and rest. If you're still in Philippians, look down at verse 11, chapter 4. Paul says there, he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that whatever state I am, to be content." And it will only be when we are truly satisfied with where God has us right now, because we're trusting in Him, that we can be in the right frame of mind to give thanks. A dissatisfied thank you is lip service. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes, okay? But there is satisfaction, or contentment is satisfaction, is also rest. And we're not just talking about a brief nap till we get our own energy back. We're talking about a mush kind of rest, where we drape ourselves into the arms, into the strong arms of our Lord, and allow Him to support every fiber of our being. That is contentment. That's contentment. In Acts chapter 2, verse 26, King David is quoted. He says there, "Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope." What does a tongue do when it is glad, when it's content? It thanks God. It thanks God. It praises God. Giving thanks must be coupled with contentment. Secondly, this morning, giving thanks must be spoken with sincerity. Giving thanks must be spoken with sincerity. Turn now, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let me read to you verses 9 through 11. Paul here says, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ." And listen to how he ends it. "To the glory and praise of God." Sincerity is, in reality, what it appears to be. That's a definition right there. Sincerity is being, in reality, what it appears to be. If we're going to praise the Lord with our lips, it had better be coming from our heart. Being filled, as the passage here says, with Christ's righteousness, without offense, approving the things which are excellent. Sincerity, again, is being in reality what it appears to be. I'm sure most of you, most all of you, have heard the story about the Trojan horse, right? It's a tale about the Greeks trying to conquer the great city of Troy. And after 10 long years of sieging the city and 10 long years of failed attempts, they finally gave up. So they said. And they constructed this huge wooden horse and they presented it to the city of Troy as a praise, a thanks, kind of, a praise for their victory. Okay? It was a gift. And what the good city of Troy did not know is as the Greeks packed up and left, leaving this wooden horse outside, they had filled it with Greek soldiers. And after they were all gone, the city of Troy opened their gates to them, pulled this horse in, and by night, the Greeks came out and finally conquered the city. What this horse appeared to be, what it purported to be, on the outside is not what it was about on the inside. And our giving of thanks to God should never be for appearances. We should never have ugly motives behind our giving thanks. Saying thank you, it's not for personal gain. And it's more than just words. It is sincere, unadulterated praise to God right from our heart. Sincere thanksgiving. Again, it is being in reality on the inside what it appears to be on the outside. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus convicts the insincerity of those who claim to be something they're not. In fact, he gives some very, very stern warnings. But listen to Matthew 23:27. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Sincerity first comes from the inside. It comes from the inside. And I also believe that sincerity comes from understanding God's love for us. That's where it comes from. It comes from understanding His love for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And then in 1 John 3:3, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." It comes from understanding God's love for us. And that's where sincerity comes from. But sincerity is really then a desire to love God in return. It's a desire to love Him in return. I have used this illustration before, and I don't think I've used it with you here, but in a few different scenarios I have. But I want you to imagine for a minute that you are out with your best friend. You're walking down a city street late at night, and out of the shadows jumps a mugger, and he's pointing a gun right at your friend. And in that instant, in that split second, you realize that this guy, he's going to pull the trigger. He's going to shoot. He's going to shoot my friend. And in that moment, you jump in front of the gun and you take the bullet for your friend. You obviously, you did this noble act because you love your friend. You love them dearly. You are even willing to give your life for them. But now imagine that you actually lived through the ordeal. You were hit in a vital organ, but rushed to the hospital. In a short amount of time, you were on your way to recovery. However, your friend, your friend, the one that you took the bullet for, the one that you were willing to give your life for, never even came and saw you at the hospital. He never even thanked you for what you did. In fact, even as you saw him months later, months after the fact, he never even acknowledged the incredible price that you paid so that he could live. It was like it never happened. How would that make you feel? What sort of response would you expect? Thank you? You know, really, a thank you would be good, but I tell you what, even beyond a verbal thank you, I think the normal and natural response would be a bond between you and him that is growing and strong and incredible. Okay? What you did for him was an act of love. Surely love in return. Love in return would not be too much to ask. Well, I know you see exactly where I'm going with this, okay? Sincerity comes from understanding God's love for us and then desiring to love him in return. And sincerity and thanksgiving, it comes from the inside, but then is expressed outwardly. It is expressed outwardly through a verbal thank you. It is expressed outwardly through a desire, especially concerning our relationship with God, a desire to know him better and grow in that relationship and bond that has been eternally established. It's expressed outwardly through our service to God, through giving him thanks, through praising him for his works. Webster, again, in his 1828 dictionary, says that sincerity is being in reality what it appears to be. But then he goes on, he says, it's not simulated, it's not assumed, or said for the sake of appearances. It is real, not hypocritical or pretended. In fact, he gives this as part of the definition. He says, no prayer can profit with a heart-searching God unless it is sincere. He knows what's lip service and what isn't. He knows that. So our giving thanks has to be spoken in sincerity. In fact, listen to what King David says in Psalm 119, verse 7. He says, I will praise you. All right? Lips moving. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. It started here and came out through there. How does one express that sincerity and thanksgiving to God? Well, this really brings us to our last attitude this morning. Giving thanks must be hailed with humility. It must be hailed with humility. Turn, if you will, now to Psalm 100. We have actually looked at this psalm in Thanksgiving's past, but turn there again, Psalm 100. And as you're turning there, I did a search on the internet, and I did this search specifically because I knew what I would find. Sadly, I knew what I would find. And I typed in a search for how to give a Thanksgiving prayer. And again, I did this because, sadly, I knew what I would find. But here's what I found from one website. It says, get everyone's attention. Gently clear your throat, clap your hands, or start humming until everyone quiets down to listen. Ask the guests to please join in a Thanksgiving prayer by bowing their heads and joining hands. He says, this creates a circle of energy in which the prayer can thrive. He says, greet whatever entity you are praying to. Dear God is a common one. He gives a few other examples. Great Spirit, powerful universe, or a glorious eternal energy that guides us. He says, kick off the prayer with the obvious. We are thankful for being together today, this delicious food in front of us, and that we are still vertical and breathing on this day to give thanks. He says, add three or more things that everyone around the table is probably grateful for. He gives examples again. We also thank the universe for our health, wealth, ability to think, see, and eat with vigor. He says, throw in some humor. Leading a prayer does not have to be a boring, solemn task. Have some fun with it by giving thanks for the sun, stars, and seismic meters so we don't get killed by an earthquake. Thank him for the HDTV that's airing the football game in the living room. He says, have some fun with this stuff. And then his last piece of advice is keep it brief. People want to eat. I hate to do this, but I will admit, I have to concede at least this. I will admit that there are a few shallow benefits found in his advice. But there was absolutely no sincerity, and there was absolutely no humility. No humility at all. Let's read Psalm 100 and look at what thanksgiving really is. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Humility. Humility is recognizing that the Lord is God, and we are not. The Lord is God, and we are not. He created us. We belong to him. He is powerful. He is self-existent. He is everywhere present. He is all-knowing. He is unchanging. He is perfect. He is just. He is wise. And we are none of these things. We are none of these things. Have you ever prayed a prayer simply thanking God for his attributes? Nothing else. No asking, no interceding, just simply praising God for who he is. Humility recognizes that the Lord is God and we are not, and nor is anything else. Humility also recognizes that God is the giver and we are not. He gives us breath. He gives us strength. He allows us to move. He gives us food. God gives us health and wealth and the ability to think and eat. God gives us the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the rain and the seasons. Have you ever prayed a prayer simply recognizing all that God gives us? Taking a moment to realize all of those things that we so often take for granted. They are all gifts from God. They're good gifts from God. Humility recognizes that God is the giver and we are not, and nor is anything else. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Humility also recognizes that God is good and we are not. He is merciful. He withholds the judgment that we truly deserve. He is gracious and rewards us with gifts that we do not deserve. He's revealed himself to us. through creation, through his Son, through his Word. He didn't have to, but he did it because he wanted to, because he's good. He made a way for us to be with him forever. He didn't have to, but wanted to, because he's good. He offers a rescue from our sin. He didn't have to, but he wanted to, because he's good. And salvation is received through simple faith in his Son. He didn't have to give his Son, but he wanted to, because he's good. Humility recognizes who God is and who we are before him. So make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I have read this before in years past, but here again is the first national Thanksgiving proclamation as given by George Washington in 1779. And I'm reading this again because in this proclamation, George Washington recognized that giving thanks must be with an attitude of contentment, sincerity, and humility. Listen to these words. He says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." He says, "Whereas both the houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." And he says, "Now therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that is good, all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country." I pray that this week in particular, I think this should really be a daily thing, okay? But I'm so thankful for this week. I hope and I pray that each of us would take some time to really evaluate, to really examine who God is, and to come to him sincerely and humbly in contentment and give him thanks for all he has done, all he is doing, and all that he will do. Giving thanks must be coupled with contentment. It must be spoken with sincerity, and it must be hailed with humility. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we do, Lord, just thank you for who you are this morning. Thank you for the attribute of being everywhere. Lord, knowing that no matter how quietly we might whisper our words to you, no matter what the circumstances we are in, no matter what danger that might surround us, Lord, you are there and you hear us. We thank you that you are all-powerful, Lord God, and that we can come to you with the confidence that you can take care of whatever the needs are in our life. But we also understand, Lord God, that sometimes through this life, those things that we go through are so that we will recognize just how strong you are and how much we truly need you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are all-knowing, that you know our needs even before we do, and you truly know what is best for us. So in this, Lord God, we do thank you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.